Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. Hello, hello. I am so excited to have you here with the beautiful Dr. Jenny. Dr. Jenny, I have to ask you, what is your Campus Chronicle story?
Oh, man. So when I was in my undergraduate program, I took this one class called Interpersonal Effectiveness Training, and it changed the rest of my college career and professional life because it was the first time that I realized we could learn how to do relationships. Like, there were things that we could actually learn and master that would make our relationships better and easier. And I loved that class so much that I came back the next semester and audited it just so I could like learn how I could teach what I was learning. And I was, didn't even know where my career would take me at that point. I just like knew that this was gold.
That is so perfect for you, especially given what we're going to talk about today. And the reason I wanted to bring you back to our podcast is you have such a beautiful way of explaining these very nuanced, very difficult topics within the realm of relationships.
Oh, thank you.
My inspiration for this podcast really came out of a personal experience for me. I became very, very worried and thinking about if I were 18 or 19 years old, I was away from home on a university campus and did not have the resources and support. And finding yourself, like I found myself, in a very unhealthy and unfortunately unsafe relationship and what that would look like. So I would love to discuss some of these unhealthy dynamics, some of this destabilization, this confusion. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, What does a healthy relationship feel like before we get to all the gloom and doom?
What does it feel like? Yeah, you know, so the tricky part about relationships is that what I have found is that they're almost divinely designed to challenge us, and they will bring up our triggers, our insecurities, our growth areas. But here's what a healthy relationship feels like when that happens. It's still not going to feel uncomfortable, like fighting or being challenged or feeling hurt emotionally is not going to be comfortable. But a healthy relationship is going to include repair, is going to include accountability and self-reflection, and is going to result in growth. Right? The learning, the healing, the expansive process where now, because of the thing that was hard, because of the way that we challenged each other, now each of us is better for it, closer for it. And there's skills in that, in learning how to use those challenges to grow. And if you have a partner who is committed to doing that growth work with you, who wants to learn how to make things better and is doing their self-reflection and wants to lift you up to your highest self, that is a healthy relationship. And the more that you do that, the more time you spend in harmony, in enjoyment, in safety. In fact, those moments of disconnection followed by repair and reconnection is what builds safety and trust after you've moved through that exciting new relationship energy. And when you have that, that's when you know you are in a healthy relationship and you can sustain anything.
You're almost bringing tears to my eyes. That's so beautiful because it highlights the big difference between an unhealthy and a healthy relationship. So contextually, for people that do not know,
I've been intimately involved with two people who could be described as unsafe or unhealthy people. And as I was discussing with Dr. Jenny before we got on, not all unhealthy relationships come from a place of being cruel or really being this malevolent person. Sometimes it's that trauma interacting that makes it difficult. Let's discuss that before we get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah. So I would say that no one escapes this life without some kind of trauma. Even, you know, like we think of like capital T trauma as these really big, life-threatening, deeply, acutely painful events. And we have all of these small T traumas, right? All these relational injuries, all of this stuff that happens as we go through life. And when we partner with another person, our stuff and their stuff are going to interact 100%. And like I said, that's part of the beauty and the gift of our relationships, is because it can give us the opportunity to confront and heal and grow through and from that stuff. But sometimes when one or both people haven't done their own work, taken ownership of their growth and healing journeys around that trauma, it can be almost too much when we come together in relationship, that we can activate one another too much. And the thing about our traumas, our triggers, is we move into a self-protective place, right? We're not in connection, because connection requires vulnerability and safety. We're in disconnection and self-protection. And the ways that people do self-protection, they deal with what their nervous system is identifying as a threat, can look really ugly. They can look like criticism and name calling and swearing, but they can also look like slamming doors and throwing things and threatening things. They can look like following you around and not letting you leave. They can look like, you know, telling you that your reality is wrong and twisting and distorting your experience, because their internal world cannot tolerate, will not tolerate the truth that you're reflecting to them. And again, there's layers of this, and mental health and personality disorders and pathology, like, can all layer in, and it's a huge spectrum. But it's important to recognize, without needing to diagnose or pathologize someone, that when you are in an unhealthy dynamic, you're interacting with those self-protective parts from you and that other person, and there is work to do there. And if you or your partner like can't or aren't willing to do your own work, because it's not about just telling them and convincing them how to change and be better, it's about looking at what this is revealing for ourselves, mm-hmm. and what it means for our own journeys. Right? Which I'll say also is how we start to know whether we're in an unhealthy dynamic. I'll speak more to that in a bit. But we are in this opportunity to tap into the traumas or the histories or the shit that is showing up in our relationship in that moment, and figure out what to do with it. And that's how, like, we can actually grow. But I think that there is some level of normality or expectancy, like that this is normal, that fighting like this is normal, that feeling like this is normal. And like, okay, maybe as you're young and starting out, there can be an edge to that, but staying in it, repeating it, living in a relationship where where your traumas are coming up and it feels unhealthy and there's harm being done, and then it cycles up to like good and fine until it crashes down into really painful again and cycles back up. When you're on that roller coaster, that is not supposed to be normal. And that it's normalized and that we tolerate it, I think, is a reason that so many people are so unhappy in their relationships, and that that the divorce rate is so high because we don't know how to take those moments of our shit coming up and like examine them and move through them in a powerful and aligned way that honors who we are and what we deserve.
There is so much I want to say to that. That was absolutely beautiful. Precisely the reason I brought you back on, though, is you take these big, big topics and you break them down in a way that's easy to understand. And from my experience, one thing that came up for me frequently when I was in an extremely unhealthy dynamic was incredible feelings of confusion.
Yes.
Incredible feelings of daily confusion over the actions, the passive aggressive remarks, the smirks, and was frequently told I was making it up, that I was, you know, looking for a problem or attempting to fight, when in reality, I had been shoving my feelings down for months upon months. Yeah. And that did bubble up in a way that made me react in ways that were entirely out of character for me. Mm-hmm. And that's where that guilt and that shame and all of that confusion came for me. Mm-hmm. What does it feel like as far as emotions, when you're in this space, when you're in an unhealthy dynamic, what are some of the symptoms you might have that signal to your body and to your brain that you need to move on?
Yes. Well, I mean, you named a really big one in the confusion. Right. So a lot of times there's this experience of the slow erosion of our voice and trust in ourselves. Right.
Mm-hmm. So now that speaks right to me.
Uh-huh.
That was a big one.
Yes. And it's like when we start to second guess our own experience, our own sense of self, our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own perception of the world. That is a really internally distressing place to be. And honestly, Brooke, I do not believe, I'm like checking in with myself. I don't believe that in a healthy dynamic, there's any time that we should get to a place of that level of confusion where we stop trusting ourselves. Yes. There might be a moment where our partner reflects back to us something we're not seeing, we don't think that we're doing, but we like in after our we've cooled down a little bit in reflection, we might be able to see that, like we should be able to see some of the grain of truth of that. Like, oh, okay, I did overreact. Oh yeah, maybe that was me projecting. Like, oh, maybe I did misunderstand. But our bodies will and do. Guide us in what is true and real. I think we are so it just culturally generally disconnected from the wisdom of our bodies. We don't talk about that enough. We don't tap into that enough. And you don't have to even be like super tapped into the wisdom of your body to know when you're in an unhealthy dynamic because your body will scream at you. It will scream at you with the confusion. It will scream at you with anxiety. It will scream at you with the tightness in your chest or in your throat when you know that like this doesn't feel right or this isn't fair or I want to say something or you hurt my feelings and we can't share it because of the repercussions. You'll fear it in the fear, right? We start feeling afraid.
Muscle tenseness was a huge one for me.
Yes.
Loss of appetite, extreme nausea, loss of desire to move or exercise.
Yes. Yes. Those are all fear responses in our nervous system, right? Like we're, you know, imagine a trapped and scared animal, right? They're like, they're gonna just want to hide and not be their authentic playful, joyful self, or they're going to be really aggressive and lash out. And we see that even within ourselves. And I can say that too. You know, I've been in a relationship where the dynamics were moving to such an unhealthy place. And I didn't know how to, like, what to do with that. That I, like, I lashed out in ways that were really ugly and uncharacteristic. There's so much. I don't want to say shame because I've worked through it, but there's a shadow to it that I can admit. Like, I had this horrible, ugly, monstrous part that showed up. And that happens when we are when we're not paying attention to what our bodies are telling us, to what our minds and our hearts are telling us. And even if we are paying attention to it, the other part I think that we're not talking about enough in relational conversations is having the awareness of what to do about it. Mm-hmm. What do we do with it? Like, oh, okay, I'm confused, I'm tense, I'm not eating, I'm acting out of character. I don't know what's real or what's really happening. Is this normal? Is this me? Am I just fucked up? And we're like, oh, okay, wait a second. I remember that these are all signals that something unhealthy is happening and that I'm stuck in a dynamic that's not working for me. And then what? What do I do about that?
That is such a big one in a situation that I was in. You feel such tremendous guilt for leaving this person because I was deeply conditioned to believe that this person was highly victimized.
Yes.
And I'm the sort of person that never wants to do harm. I never want to hurt someone. But those deep levels of confusion and all of those body symptoms that we were just naming became to the point where I could no longer hold it in. But the moment that I broke that attachment, the moment that I broke that cord, I had the most intense, overwhelming reaction and feelings about that. Let's discuss what it looks like if we decide that we're going to leave. How do we rebuild ourselves back up? Because oftentimes when we're in these dynamics, we become destabilized and somewhat dismantled.
Yes. Yes. That is so real.
It's an identity crisis when you break something like this. It really is.
It is.
And it's a beautiful chance to build back from ground zero. This is how I want to show up in the world. This is the parts of me that I wasn't proud of. And here's the instincts that I want to either neutralize or use more of in the future.
Yeah. Well, I think that one of the most important pieces in rebuilding yourself after you've made the courageous and often very painful decision to leave a relationship that was not serving you, that was unhealthy or toxic or even abusive, that severing that cord, because we were so wrapped up in it, leaves us kind of shattered in pieces. We're still confused. It's not like we're like suddenly, I mean, maybe sometimes we feel a little liberated, but we're still mind fucked a bit, right? Like we're still like feeling that guilt and feeling the shame and feeling the confusion and feeling like, are we really a bad person? And sometimes it's even really scary, right? To leave someone like that because there could be retaliation that happens. And so kudos for you, Brooke, in like your movement. And to all of you listeners, like if you've been in it, and I've been in an abusive relationship myself too, like it's not freaking easy. Rebuilding yourself after starts with recognizing that it's okay that you're in pieces right now, that you're not going to stay that way, right? We put so much pressure on ourselves to be and feel good and happy and put together. And you just walked away from something that was really destabilizing and shattering. And so you're going to need time and you're going to need some safety and you're going to need some care to be able to mend and rebuild. So allow yourself to be in pieces. Allow yourself to get support. We are in so much of an individualistic society, and it is incredibly harmful because none of us are built to just survive on our own. We are built for connection and community. And when you have been in a relationship where you've lost touch with your own truth and your own trust of yourself, you are in a a vulnerable place where it's really easy to get stuck in your own head around trying to make sense of who you are and where you want to go and what just happened. So allow yourself to receive love and support from other people, to seek therapy or mentorship, to connect with communities of other folks who have been through what you've been through in relationships. The more that we see and get to understand our experience through other people who get it and can reflect to us the reality of who we are and what's possible for our lives, the easier it is for us to see that. It's almost like in these unhealthy relationships, we've been looking into a cracked or distorted mirror for a really long time.
Wow, that's beautiful and beyond true.
Yes. Yeah, right? Like, and now we've turned away, but we're looking at other mirrors and we don't know, like, what is the real reflection of us? But so if you get enough other mirrors of people who have done their work, of people who understand what it's like to look in a cracked mirror, who could reflect back to you with accuracy, we can start to create a recognition of who we really are and who we want to be and build our own, like, internal image of ourselves. So we need that community. We need that support. We can't do it in isolation.
We can't. And I want to say the best or the most beautiful part for me really was reclaiming, this is not only who I am, but this is how I want to show up.
Yeah.
This is who I want to be. The love that I was able to get from people, just like you said, who had done the work, who could really see me and hold space for me. The way that those people showed up for me made such a tremendous impact on me. The love that I thought I needed from this person, I found within myself and within that support group. So please, everyone, if you find yourself in this, please get support from your beautiful friends and from professionals. I want to briefly touch on something that's been a big issue for me, and it troubles me a lot, is when we go on to Instagram or other social media platforms, people are throwing around this narcissist word without understanding what that means. Can you briefly touch on what narcissism truly is and why using that word willy-nilly is so dangerous?
Yes. Okay. That's a great point. So narcissism is a deeply rooted personality disorder that prevents folks from connecting with accountability, empathy. It's a distortion within their own mind of reality that positions themselves often as the victim and the hero. And everything else around them is either like the cause of their problems or the result of their heroics. And they don't really have the ability to see it any other way. We all have narcissistic traits, right? Like those parts of us that see ourselves as the victim or don't think we did anything wrong or think that we're the best at whatever. And we can see that. But when we're using that term willy-nilly and just throwing it around, like, we're minimizing the severity of narcissism as a personality disorder and diluting our perception of, like, what is really pathological and abnormal and unhealthy, as opposed to, like, what is just people needing to do some growth, people struggling with their own accountability. In the work that I do with women in particular, and also couples, what is key in that work is accountability, right? It's empowered accountability. It's owning our part of this relationship dance. And so whether your partner is truly narcissistic or just struggling with accountability or narcissistic traits, I would encourage you not to necessarily move into diagnostics, but just use the metric of, is my partner someone who is willing to take accountability, who is willing and able to do some self-reflection, even if they're not great at it, but they are willing to do some of it? Is my partner willing to recognize that I have a point, that I might be right, that it's not all my fault? That
yeah, do they shift the blame on you compulsively? Because that's exactly. A big one. It is a huge
exactly.
One.
Right. And so if they, I'm like, sometimes they might shift the blame on you. That's a pretty normal defensive response, right? Well, I wouldn't have done this if you hadn't, right? Like that's actually fairly normal, not necessarily narcissistic. But is it like, as you're saying, Brooke, is it consistent? Is it every single time? Are they showing a lack of inability to, or is it just something that they struggle with and they need to grow in? And that's the measure that I want you all to be paying attention to for yourself and someone else. And just be thoughtful around how we're using these pretty severe terms. It's narcissistic personality disorder is a clinical disorder that needs to be diagnosed by a mental health professional after a thorough assessment. Because like everything in our world, there is a spectrum. And just labeling someone as something that is very severe and can have consequences for their life and how they're seen or how they see themselves when it's not an appropriate label can actually facilitate a downward spiral of more struggle, because we can internalize that as part of our identity. And then we lose motivation to try to work on it too. So I hope that's helpful in thinking about what narcissism really is and how we can start to distinguish and really be conscious about using that term.
We do need to be conscious, because here's the thing. You very well may have come into contact with one. You certainly could have, but you don't need to have come into contact with one to know that you need to walk away.
Yes.
It's really that simple. Dr. Jenny, as we wrap up here, I want to ask you a tough question. You've done this before. I know you can do it, but we're going to niche it down this time. So if you were going to give three pieces of advice to university students about cultivating and building a healthy relationship and identifying unhealthy relationships, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Yes. Okay. So the piece number one is easy, because I was just talking about it, and that is the accountability piece. Look for whether your relationship, whether your partner has the ability to take some accountability and do some personal growth work, right? And do your own personal growth work. That would be number two. If you start to find that you're feeling confused, if you start to find that you're second guessing yourself, or that you're unhappy and stuck, that's an opportunity for you to look at where you may need to grow. And sometimes our growth looks like setting boundaries. Sometimes our growth looks like using our voice, but using our voice more effectively. Sometimes our growth means dealing with our own traumas and triggers. Sometimes our growth means recognizing this is unhealthy and we need to step out. But if you're not feeling aligned or safe or happy or clear in trusting yourself, those are signs for you to start looking at what you need to learn from this situation, not what your partner needs to do necessarily. So, and it's always that way. It never ends in our relationships. It is always going to be invitations to our own personal growth. Start now. So that would be my second piece of advice. My third piece of advice would be get reflections from other people, like friends, family, professionals, even freaking AI these days.
I've seen people do that. It's actually better than you think.
I agree. say send ChatGPT a text exchange or explain what just happened.
I've done that actually.
And you will hear like, no, this is gaslighting, or no, this is a lack of accountability, or no, this is using, religious, It's almost like religious violence. There's a word for it. I'm not remembering anymore, but like using, you know, like religion to make you feel like a piece of crap.
It's right? Excellent with picking up blame shifting. It's how I realized that that was a thing that was happening.
Yes. So it's like, if you can't figure out like what is going on, is this normal? Is this healthy? And what do I need to do about it? Look at it, find another mirror to look into. And if you're in a relationship that does not want you to look into other mirrors, where the rule is secrecy, the rule is you can't tell anybody about this, the rule is this is your fault. If you tell anybody, they're going to see what a horrible person you are. Or I don't want you talking to your family. Or, I don't want you talking to your friends or spending time with your friends. That is a huge red flag. We all need a multiplicity of mirrors to see ourselves most clearly so that we continue to grow and become our best version of ourselves, our most fulfilled and happy and healthy versions of ourselves. And so if you're not allowed, or it's not okay in your relationship to have those mirrors, then still find those mirrors, right? Like that's an indication that something's not aligned and healthy and in your best interest here. I'm telling you, you need to find those other mirrors and talk to those other people so you can get clarity. I think those three things, accountability, continuing our own self-work, right? Like learning from what doesn't feel well and examining that. And then talking to other people, reaching out, having other people's opinions and voices about what's happening are all going to be really helpful in cluing us into whether we're in a healthy relationship, whether our relationship is worth continuing, if it's aligned for us, if it's good for us. And even, you know, if it's a hard relationship, if it's got unhealthy dynamics, but decent foundations, how we can use that relationship to grow and improve our relational leadership and our relational health. So
I love this. And I just want to tack on to the third point that you said, because they're all beautiful. If you feel like you have to keep secrets about the things that are really going on in your dynamic, that happened to me. That's a really, really big indicator. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you on social media if they want to connect?
Oh my goodness. So I'm kind of old school, so I'm not on Insta as much as I maybe should be. You can find me on Instagram at Jenny Wallig, my first and last name, but I mostly show up on Facebook. So you can find me at Jenny.Wallig, JENI.WAHLIG. I'm happy to connect and have conversations. My business is Powerful Love. So we also have a YouTube and a TikTok channel at Powerful Love. The YouTube, I think, might be Powerful Love LGBT. I've got lots of great resources on creating healthy relationships, challenging the status quo on the way we think that relationships are supposed to be, and actually how they need to be in order to have the kind of relationships that we really dream about having, but no one has taught us how to create.
I love that. I want to say thank you so much for tackling what is a very difficult, uncomfortable, and extremely sensitive topic. You were amazing. And I knew that you would be amazing. And I want to say just thank you so much for coming on. And thank you so much to anyone who's listening with an open heart right now. I know that Jenny and I both have the intention that we can help people be in happy, healthy, safe relationships. And at that, if they're not, they can find the courage to say, this is not how my story is going to be. Yeah. So we thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.
So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.